What's going on, everybody? You're listening to episode 18 of MNN Sports Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Morales alongside Nick Rivera. Nick, how you doing today?
I'm living large. How are you feeling today?
As a Jets fan, not too well this morning. Not too well. Ready, starting off the
season. Yes.
We're starting off the season 0-2.
Love it.
The Jets must have hired the Yankees medical staff because of all the injured players and all the strange injuries too. But I mean, your Giants are not getting off to that much of a hot start either, though.
They're not. But I'm living through this Jets season right now. I knew we were going to be bad, but just seeing all your hopes come crashing down, that puts a fat smile on my face.
Yeah. But it's not just the Jets, though. It seems like league wide, there's been tons of like strange injuries. You have Drew Brees, Cam Newton, Nick Foles, Ben Roethlisberger, and like the list goes on. Sam Darnold, obviously, it's more of a sickness than an injury, but still, like, I feel like there's been so many starting quarterbacks that are out right now, and I feel like this is like a strange NFL season compared to years of the past.
It's very strange, and the worst part is it's only week 3.
I know. Isn't that
so
nuts?
I got to sit through like 14 more weeks of Gardner Minshew, Nick Falk, Mason Rudolph,
Teddy Bridgewater.
Ew. Like, I don't care what y'all say about all these quarterbacks. I'm not down for this. I love going through social media and seeing all like Saints fans are like, how to donate a thumb. Or Steelers fans had to donate elbows. Like, it's pretty crazy. I don't even know what the deal is with your Sam Darnold. That's strange.
I know. Tell me about it.
Like, only the Jets, bro. I knew something like that was going to happen.
It was inevitable, right?
Like, thank you.
There was too many good things that happened to them over the past few months. So the universe had to make it balanced once again.
Like, things are coming crashing down hard. I remember all these playoff talks. Now, we got Jamal Adams unfollowing you. We don't have a quarterback. Your rookie's hurt. Your number 3 pick. Your brand new CJ Mosley's hurt.
I know, man.
Adam Gase is sniffing smelling salts. And Le'Veon's sitting there like, bro, what is going on right now?
Yeah. I mean,
really about to go 0-7. I know that hurts.
Yeah. But I do have some things to say about the Jets, but I'm going to save it for a little later. To go back to the injury stuff, like, some of these injuries, it seems like they were just, like, freak accidents, though. I mean, you know, the Drew Brees injury, when he tear a ligament in his throwing thumb. I mean, stuff like that happens. What, he hit the hand of the defender, correct? Like, when he was throwing, or did he hit the helmet?
No, I believe it was his, like, he went, the defender put his hands up and he was running towards him, and his, when he released, like, his hand, like, hit his hand and his, like, thumb exploded.
Yeah, like, now, like, that is just a freak accident, to me at least. Like, there's not much you can do to avoid an injury like that. I feel like for Ben Roethlisberger, I feel like that is an unavoidable injury because it was a non-contact injury. And I don't know if you saw the video, but he was just throwing a ball. And all of a sudden, he just went down. Like, he just grabbed his elbow and tucked in, like, almost like a pitcher. Like, a pitcher just throws the ball, and all of a sudden, their elbow explodes. And, you know, if he's going to be out for the full year, that's what's been reported so far, to me, I think it's like a Tommy John type of injury.
Yeah, he's getting surgery, right? He's done for the
season.
Yeah,
I believe so.
Dang, and rest in peace.
And like, I want to know what your thoughts on this, but like, to me, the reason why I say that this is an avoidable injury and for Ben Roethlisberger is because, you know, like, he probably, I don't know exactly how many snaps he played in the preseason, but when you go, especially in a quarterback, when you're constantly throwing the ball, when you go from not throwing at all in the off season to, you know, just throwing every now and then in training camp and the practices throughout the weeks in between your preseason games, and then you don't really play in a live game, and then you start the season, and right off the bat, you're throwing 30 to 40 times, like, every week. I feel like that it puts a lot of stress on your elbow, especially when you haven't been really using it and throwing in that motion for so long. And I think that just goes back to the preseason games because, you know, no one, their players, the coaches don't want to play their starters. So because they don't want to risk them getting injured. And I feel like if they shorten the preseason and these players, not only the quarterback, but everyone else got to play more than like a series, you could prevent a lot of these early season injuries.
Yeah, I think like the whole preseason issue, I mean, it plays a factor in it, but it's like this whole debate. It's kind of, I don't know. I'm on the side where they should have preseason. Like everyone says like, oh, you don't need a preseason to get ready. Look at college football. They do fine. Well, if you don't need a preseason, how come these first 2 weeks of football have been, like, unwatchable?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, there's so many penalties, a sloppy play, people just being beans. Like, if you don't need preseason or you want to shorten it, like, show me that you don't need it. Like, it looks so horrible. And if you're going to – if they're going to take away the preseason, they're just going to extend the regular season anyway.
Yeah.
And when they don't play your starters, I mean, yeah, you could prevent injuries, but if they're going to get injured, they're going to get injured. Mm-hmm. And I think if you play them in the preseason, it gets them ready. You don't have to go super hard, but like, look at the Patriots. Like, Tom Brady plays most of the preseason. He's fine. Like, if you're going to just wrap people in bubbles, I feel like it's going to make them more prone to injury because their body's not accustomed to it.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And like, I'm on your side. I'm not saying get rid of the preseason altogether, but maybe shorten it. What is it, 4 games of preseason?
Yeah, it's 4.
So why not shorten it to 2? And then the first game, you have your starters play maybe 2 quarters, 2 or 3 quarters. And then the last game, you have them playing 3 to the whole game, 3 quarters to 4 quarters. And that way, it gets them ready. Because I agree with you. The first 2 weeks of the season, I mean, for the exception of a few of the elite teams, there's been a lot of bad play, man. And it's getting hard to watch when the refs are calling like 20 flags a game. Like, it's kind of annoying. Like, I get they want to get all the calls right, especially after, you know, last season the refs were under heavy criticism, especially in the Saints Rams game. But like, when you're slowing the game down because every single play there's a holding penalty, there's an offsides penalty, you know, it gets hard to watch.
Yeah, and I bring it back to the players. Like, if you look at them, they're not performing well. Like, all these games, it's like atrocious. Like, yeah. You saw the Thursday night football with the Bucks and the Panthers, horrible. The yeah. Monday night football with the Jets and the Browns, horrible.
Hey,
like, there's just so many games where just like, I'm watching, I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah, and going back to the Thursday night football game with the Panthers and the Bucks, like, yeah, like the game sucked it, but and that this goes back too to the injury stuff. Like, Cam Newton was hurt and he looked horrible in that game. He wasn't hitting open targets. He was like, there was maybe like 5 or 6 times where the receiver was wide open and Cam Newton either threw the ball like 10 feet over his head or like 3 feet behind the runner. So like, I mean, that's just another example of another guy that's injured. And I believe, didn't he have a shoulder surgery over the off season?
Yeah, he's had like every kind of injury.
Yeah, and like now he's in a walking boot, and like, I don't know if you watched the whole game, but that last play of that Thursday night football game, Cam Newton, I believe they're at like the 1 yard line, and instead of doing his usual Superman jump over like both lines, it was like a direct snap, like a wildcat type of thing, direct snap to Christian McCaffrey, and he tried to run it around everybody, obviously didn't get in, but like, you know, if Cam Newton was healthy, you would have to think that he would have just jumped right over everybody, like he usually does.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of – I think that whole game and that call specifically was a combination of Cam not being 100% and Ron Rivera being a horrible coach. Like, come on. We're doing a Philly special. Like, all right. Give the ball to McCaffrey. Like, it's 1 yard. Or, like, just take Cam over the top. Like, I know you could be hurt, but you're trying to tell me Cam Newton can't get you 1 yard. Well, granted, he did get stopped on the 4th and 2, was it, earlier in the game as well.
Yeah.
But as soon as they hiked it and they did that fake reversal, and like as soon as you they moved Cam out to the receiver, everyone on the defense knew that it was going to be McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
And then they fake the reversal, like you're like, yeah, right, you're gonna take it out of his hands. So everyone knew it was going to McCaffrey. So I just thought that call was just horrible.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
And what happened? The Bucs defense stopped you. When you get stopped by the Bucs defense that many times on 4th down, that's an issue.
And now the Bucs are like, what are they, in first place in their division now?
That is mortifying to hear. That horrible team. I thought this year Jameis Winston was gonna show out. You know, he's in his contract year. He got Bruce Arians. No, he looks just as bad as Cam Newton.
Yeah. I mean, he had a couple of good throws in that game, but, I mean, nothing that, like, wowed me. Like, wow, this guy really took, like, a major leap.
Nope. Still same old crab legs.
And now, just, like, the product in total with the NFL, I feel like there's been so many blowouts, and there are a lot of 0-2 teams. I know it's early, but, like, the fact that there's been a lot of blowouts so far in the NFL is just, like, I feel like it's turning into the NBA. Like, all offense, not a lot of defense. The league is favoring the offense more. Like, that's just me. And, like, you have teams like the Dolphins who just have completely given up and are completely blowing up their team, and they're literally getting embarrassed out there week in and week out, and they're on track and on pace to be the worst team in NFL history.
Yeah, the thing with the offense and the defense, like, that's where every league has this thing where, like, oh, people want to see, like, for example, baseball, people want to see offense. We've seen so many home runs where now we see a home run and it's nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
We're desensitized to it. Now in the NBA, all this, there's no defense whatsoever. So you'd see these huge scores, these crazy plays where everyone's like, yep, that's normal.
And chucking up threes.
Yeah. And it's like, and now with football, like, yeah, everyone just obsessed and they think that what we want is offense, offense, offense. No, we just want good games. We just want to see players perform. Like, we don't need to see all this crazy offense. And this is where they were going towards for years and years, where, like, you, if you touch the quarterback, you get a penalty.
Yeah.
And, like, well, all the calls, they favor the offense. For example, if you get holding on defense, it's a first down, automatic first down and yards. But if you're holding on offense, you just move back a couple yards. Like, it kind of makes no sense.
Yeah. Not, you know, I never really thought of it like that, but yeah, you're right. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. And
everything is just favoring the offense. So then when people get mad where defense don't get stops, everything is built so offense can succeed. So Get mad at the offense.
And you could even say, too, in the NHL, I think it was like either 2 or 3 years ago, the NHL reduced the size of the goalie pads to try to generate more offense.
Like, why? It was fine.
I know.
You're just making it harder for the – I don't understand.
It's like the league's just – all they really care about is just making sure that the offense, you know, scores a ton of points or scores a lot of goals and stuff like that, and as opposed to the defense, you know, making good stops and having shutouts and having, like, dominant defenses. Like, it just seems like you said, all these leagues just have been favoring offense.
I mean, if that's what they want, that's what they're going to do. But, I don't know, I feel like it's just going to come full circle, and it's going to come to a point where it's just, like, too much.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But I guess we'll get there when we get there.
Yeah, we'll see.
These commissioners aren't going to listen to me.
You never know. Maybe they're listening to Eminent Sports Talk Podcast.
I don't know, man. I think there's a couple, actually.
Yeah, maybe a few. So now let's talk about the New York Giants.
Ooh.
So the Giants start off 0-2. They get blown out by the Cowboys in week one. They lose. I mean, it was a relatively close game against the Bills last week up until like the last few minutes. And now heading into week three at 0-2, you travel to Tampa Bay. And the end of the Eli Manning era.
No, it can't be.
It is now time for Daniel Jones to start his NFL, officially start his NFL career. Because I know he came in for a few drives in the first game, but he gets his first NFL career start. And unfortunately for a lot of Giants fans out there, this is the end of the Eli Manning era.
No, I'm shook right now.
Now, I know you're a big-time Giants fan. I know you're a big Eli Manning fan. When you first heard about this news, what was going through your head? Like, what was your reaction? How did you feel? And what are your expectations now for Mr. Daniel Jones?
Oh, my God, the flip-flopping. It's just like, be consistent, bro. Like, first of all, before we keep it pushing, the Eli Manning hate, it kind of blows my mind. Like, the past couple of years, sure, he hasn't been MVP caliber, but he's put up relatively even numbers with other quarterbacks. But it's just like, it's just like the cool thing to do to hate on Eli. And like, sure, he hasn't been great, but like most of the issues with the offense aren't Eli Manning. So then, and on top of that, everyone was hating on Daniel Jones. Then he does well in the preseason. Now everyone likes Daniel Jones. I wanted this energy back when he got drafted. But anyways, so all these issues with Eli, as soon as you put Daniel Jones in there, the whole offense isn't going to be fixed. Nothing's really going to – the team itself is similarly or worse than Eli, then what's going to happen? Like, I don't know. I mean, I get it because you're trying to get him experience, but this whole mindset and throwing young quarterbacks in immediately kind of blows my mind. Like, you don't need to start him right away. It would before it started like 5-6 years ago, every quarterback like sat a couple years and learned. And what happens? You learn because quarterback, you don't need to necessarily put them in right away because I think it's better for them to learn the system. They get comfortable with everybody because they basically have to run the whole offense by themselves. So, I mean, I don't know. I think that putting them in right away could actually hurt their development and make them lose confidence. But, I mean, I'm glad he's getting a shot, but I feel like if he starts doing bad, then everyone's going to turn on him and it's just going to be the same thing with Eli where everyone's hating on him. And then they're going to want to – all the fans are going to say, oh, we need to draft another quarterback, and it's going to be this huge cycle. And I don't know. I just think this whole Giants situation is a mess, and I blame the owners because they're acting like bozos.
And, you know, yeah, I agree with you on a lot of what you're saying. The hate and the disrespect to Eli Manning, it's like at an all-time high this year. And, like, in years past, like, all right, I get it. Like, you want to poke fun at Eli. He hasn't really been playing up to, you know, his, if you want to say, quote-unquote, standards, like he's, like, in his past. But he is also in his upper 30s. But just the fact that, like, all these different sports media outlets are constantly throwing jabs at Eli when they post stuff on Instagram or Twitter – they always have, like, the most, like, awkward and, like, the most, like, stupid-looking pictures of Eli. Like, there was one, you know, like, that meme when his hair's, like, all messed up and his eyes are, like, crossed a little and his mouth's, like, wide open? Like, that picture, I've seen that so many times the past few weeks, and I just feel like it's so disrespectful to him. Like, yeah, you want to make fun of him, you want to throw jabs, go for it. But when you start doing stuff like that, I feel like that's where it just crossed the line a little bit. And even the same thing with, like, Adam Gase, for example. Like whenever social media outlets have been making fun of the Jets, they always put pictures from his press conference when they introduced him with his eyes, like, wide open. Like I get it. Like haha, like, it was funny the first, like, three times. But we're, what, 3, 4, 5, 6 months later, and they're still posting the same pictures? Like, it gets a little old, bro. And it's, like, the same thing with Eli Manning. Like, I get it. Like, the picture when he looks like he just woke up from bed or, like, he just, like, super confused. Like, I get it. It's funny. But, like, this dude's a 2-time Super Bowl MVP. Like, show some respect. You know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy. Like, they would never do that to Tom Brady. They would never do that. They'd only post pictures of Tom Brady with his rings. When have they ever posted a picture of Eli with 2 rings on his finger?
Never, because that's their boy. They're like, they want to forget that he beat Tom Brady twice.
Yeah, exactly.
But I remember.
Like, and I'm not even a Giants fan. And I know, like, I joke around with you. I make fun of the Giants. I have made fun of Eli Manning to you in the past. But it's all just fun in games because we have this fun little rivalry going because you're a Giants fan, I'm a Jets fan. But, like, when it's just consistently over and over and over again, like, it gets old. And, like, you know, I give a lot of credit to Eli for just keeping his head down and just, you know, just shaking it all off. Because I don't know how he handles it, man. You know, it's so easy to, like, attack these like media people and everything. It's so easy to do that, and it takes a certain kind of person, and it takes a lot of energy to hold back and just keep your cool. And I give him a lot of props for that. He's been a pro's pro. He's always done the right thing, and it's unfortunate that his time is come to an end. But at the same time, like, he had to have seen the writing on the wall. You know, you can't play forever, and unfortunately, he's not Drew Brees. He's not Tom Brady, where it seems like they have been beating out Father Time. Like, unfortunately, Father Time has been catching up to him. And, yeah, he's been putting up stats. He's been putting up numbers. I'm not taking any of that away from him. But, you know, where the Giants are right now, their team is not in the same position that the Saints are in or that the Patriots are in or even, like the Steelers were in a few years back with Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Big Ben. Like, this Giants team has been trying to rebuild for years now. And unfortunately, you know, for some part of it, it hasn't been working. But at the same time, they did draft Daniel Jones very high, whether regardless if people feel like it was too high or if he deserved it or not. But the writing was on the wall. The writing was on the wall, excuse me, ever since the draft last year. And, you know, like I said, I give a lot of props for Eli for just continuing to do the right thing and not making this about him. And he's really been putting the team first for a very long time. And, you know, I can't say it enough. Like, congrats to him on a great career. And, you know, like, I give him a lot of props for the way he's handled it.
Yeah, I'm going to miss Eli, man. That's my guy. But I don't know, man. I want to see him retire as a Giant, but I also at the same time I want to see him get traded, go to another team, and be an average or above average quarterback and just show everybody that he could still play.
Yeah, and that would be the best case scenario for him, I feel like, because, like, don't get me wrong, I hope Daniel Jones plays well, because although I'm not a Giants fan, I do want to see him play well. I thought the criticism to him was just as unfair as the criticism to Eli has been with the pictures and everything, like we were just talking about. Like the dude hasn't even played a full, like, a professional snap yet, like, after he was drafted, and people were ripping him apart. Like, he went to a Yankee game, and the Yankees showed him, I think it was a Yankee game, it was either a Yankees or a Mets game, and they showed him on the Jumbotron, and he hasn't even played a preseason snap yet at this point, and the fans were booing him. Like, that's just not right.
Can you imagine being at that game and booing him? You must have had your clown shoes extra tight on that day.
I know, and then he, same thing with him. He's kept his head down. He's been saying and doing all the right things. He's letting his play do the talking. And in preseason, man, he looked really good. And I know they're going up against vanilla defenses, and, you know, they're playing the second, third, fourth string. Like, I get all that, but Dwayne Haskins had the same opportunity. He didn't really perform that well. So I'm not saying Daniel Jones is better than Dwayne Haskins. I am. You know, like, I want to see what he could do in the regular season, and I'm going to tune into this game, and I'm really curious to see how he performs on the road against the Buccaneers.
Danny Dimes, man. Danny Dimes. I'm ready for it, but at the same time, I'm not. I miss Eli already.
And speaking of Eli, right now, let's just say he doesn't go to another team. Let's just say, because is he a free agent after this year or after next year? I forgot.
I think it's next year.
Well, regardless,
I think it's an option.
All right, so let's just say, regardless if he's a free agent after this year or next year, let's just say he doesn't play for the Giants or another team again. Let's just say he retires a Giant. Daniel Jones starts from here on out and doesn't look back. Do you think Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer?
First ballot, baby.
Yeah, and you know, I have to agree with you on that. And I know there's a few people out there, a few people on Twitter, like sports personalities that I have seen that don't agree with that. But I think this guy's a two-time Super Bowl MVP. Not many people in the NFL even sniff the postseason. Not many people get to the Super Bowl. And for this guy to have beaten Tom Brady, the NFL god, twice, like, I think that's saying something.
That, and he's top 10 in passing yards and touchdowns. I mean, I feel like that's pretty significant. And if you take away that random time where they benched him for Geno Smith because they said they're moving on from Eli, then they're like, wait, never mind.
Yeah, that was a clown move.
It was big time clown move. He hadn't missed a single start. So, like, I don't know. He was an Iron Man. He was going to break that record, but the John Mara was like, you know what? Nah. But I think he's first ballot. He's like number 7, I think, in passing yards and something like that in touchdowns. 2-time Super Bowl MVP, Iron Man. I'm with it.
Yeah. He's actually 8th in passing touchdowns for his career and 7th in passing yards. Yep, you were correct on that. He's a 4-time Pro Bowler. He has 56,537 yards, 362 touchdowns, 241 interceptions, and a career completion percentage of 60.3.
Love it. Love it.
And I'm not too sure what his win-loss is. Let's see if I can find that quick.
It's an even. It's like 116-116. It's perfectly even.
Yeah, I see that now. Yeah, so he's 116-116. I mean, and again, it's not always his fault, the reason why they lose games or whatnot, because, you know, defense could blow a lead and stuff like that. You could lose on field goals. I get that. But on just his yards, his touchdowns, the completion percentage, and the fact that he's a two-time Super Bowl MVP, two-time Super Bowl champ, four-time Pro Bowler, 2016 Walter Payton Man of the Year. Like, how is this guy not a Hall of Famer? Because played for one team his whole career.
I'm telling you, man, the hate is real. No one wants to see Eli. I don't know what he did to all these people either. He just chills.
I know. He's never said anything bad, never has been in a scandal, never has cheated, never has done anything.
But the hate lives on.
Yeah, unfortunately.
For my man, Eli. I know he's chilling. I don't know, man. I wouldn't be – I know he's upset, but I wouldn't be that upset. He's getting $12 million on the bench. What a legend.
Yeah, that is true. And he's going to stay healthy. Don't have to worry about getting hurt. He's 38 years old. And, you know, like someone like Big Ben, who I believe is either 37 or 38, but he suffered a major injury. And, you know, at his age, it's a lot of rehab and a lot of, like, pain and a lot of – you got to do a lot to get right back into playing shape. So for someone like Eli, who's around the same age, like, maybe he's – maybe he's dodging a bullet, you know? I'm not saying that. I know he never gets hurt, but, like, you know, maybe he, instead of playing, like, let's just say, like, he would have suffered a catastrophic leg injury or arm injury, and then, you know, that's the worst way to go out. Like, if Big Ben has to retire because of this injury, that's, I think retiring due to injury is one of the worst ways to go. So, yeah, like, Eli didn't get to choose when he wanted to stop playing, but at least he's able to walk away from the game intact.
Yeah. And with this, Philip Rivers is the only one left from the 04 draft class. Rest in peace, Eli. Rest in peace, Big Ben. Now it's up to Philip Rivers.
And the ironic part was Philip Rivers was supposed to be your franchise quarterback.
Ew, I'm so glad he's not.
If that trade never went through, you think he would have still won two Super Bowls?
No.
You think the Chargers would have won a Super Bowl? At least one?
No.
With Eli, I'm saying?
No, I don't know. I just think it was a perfect situation with Eli and the Giants. And Philip Rivers and the Chargers, they should have won, like, multiple Super Bowls. But I don't know. They're always quacking somehow.
Yeah. And it doesn't help them either this year when Melvin Gordon doesn't want to play because of money.
That's their fault. Like, yeah, I get it. But, like, they were – I don't see anyone coming to the Chargers anytime soon. And they've been okay with drafting. Like, I say just pay him. Why not? And, I mean, Philip Rivers, this is one of his last years. Melvin Gordon's one of your better playmakers. Yeah, he's not in the league, like, the same class as, like, a Zeke or, like, a Le'Veon Bell hold out like that. But, I mean, I say just pay him because I think they're – I mean, yeah, Eckler is performing right now, but I think the offense would be a lot more – like, dynamic with Melvin. Yeah. And he's been staying in shape, so if they were to pay him, he would jump – I think he'd jump right in and pick up where they left off, and he wouldn't be rusty.
Yeah. And I agree with you, man. But we'll see with that, what ends up happening.
I'm not a GM, so.
So getting back to the Giants, right before we move on to the New York Jets, now knowing what you know now with Daniel Jones coming in, where do you see the Giants now, like, moving forward? You know, they play the Bucs, then the Redskins, Vikings, Patriots. Like, the schedule is relatively easy. Like, there's a few tough games in there. Like, the Vikings will be tough. The Patriots obviously will be tough. Cowboys are going to be tough. Jets-Giants is always tough because, you know, it's always, like, another level of intensity. Then you got the Bears, Packers, Eagles, and you got the Eagles twice. So, where are you thinking? Like, you do play the Dolphins in there. That should be an automatic win. You play the Redskins twice, which who knows with them. You play the Cardinals, the Lions. So, like, what are your feelings right now with this Giants team?
I had them going like 7-9, 8-8-ish. I think they'll finish relatively the same. I think now with Daniel Jones, I think that not necessarily that he'll play worse, but I think now they won't get as many wins just because he'll have to work a lot of things out. I feel like he'll show flashes of being like good/great. And he'll have his moments, but I feel like there's times where, like, when he came in last week and then he just ran and then he just fumbled when he was trying to get that first down. I think there'll be moments like that, and he'll not necessarily lose them games, but put him in a position where they can't win. And that's with most rookie quarterbacks. So I feel like if I said they're going to go 7-9, I think now they're probably going to go like 6-10 maybe, but relatively the same range. I don't think he'll make them that much better, that much worse. I think it'll pretty much be the same.
Yeah. For me, I think, like, I kind of feel the same way with Daniel Jones, but the only difference is that I don't think that he's going to, like, do extremely well. I don't think he's going to do extremely poorly either. I think he's going to be in, like, the middle ground, be a little bit, a notch or two above the middle ground. I think he definitely brings another level to this Giants offense. He's obviously a more mobile quarterback than Eli Manning. You know, he's got to fix the fumbling issue. And he's shown signs of that in preseason as well. But I think they'll definitely win the games they're supposed to win, you know, against like the Dolphins, against the Cardinals. I think that's going to be a good game too, with you two rookie quarterbacks. I think the Vikings game, since that'll be his third week in, I think the Vikings game, he'll be able to bring it, you know, make it a close competitive game. Patriots game is going to be tough, obviously. Cowboys is going to be tough. Bears will be tough. Although, you know, Mitch Trubisky seems like he's taken a step back this year, but the defense alone is just going to be tough, the Bears D. But, you know, I forgot what I had them ranked as, or like what their final record will be. But I think Daniel Jones is going to surprise people, and I think he's going to play pretty well. I don't think they'll finish 500, but I could see them maybe getting like 6 or 7 wins.
Yeah, I think that's in their destiny.
Yeah.
The mediocre club.
Like, not good enough, but not bad enough to get a top pick, you know?
I love it. I can't wait. I can't wait for this number 12 pick that's going to be a nobody.
Oh, man. But now it's time to talk about my New York Jets.
Oh, I was waiting for this.
You know, going back into the offseason, in the draft, the free agent signings, I was hyped. I was so excited for this Jets season. With the new uniforms that came out, I was like, all right, this is going to be the year that they take the next step and become relevant. They're no longer this is now an outdated reference. They're no longer the Cleveland Browns. They are now the New York Jets. And, you know, like, the Browns were always the joke of the NFL. Now it's going to be like the Dolphins. But, like, I always thought that that this season was going to be that year where the Jets take the next step. It was Sam Darnold in year two, and I was expecting a big jump from him. You have Jamal Adams, who's one of the best defensive players in the NFL right now. You signed C.J. Mosley, who's also one of the best defenders in the NFL, coming from a very good Ravens defense, bringing over a different intensity. And like Jamal Adams said, they need more dogs on this defense, and that is what C.J. Mosley was. You go out, you draft Quinnen Williams, bless you, thank you, and he's another dog.
I was so confused for a second.
He's another guy. Sneezed. He's another guy who can be very good on the defensive line. I mean, Leonard Williams needed to have he's healthy, but he needs to have a really breakout, really good year this year. I was excited, man. You signed Le'Veon Bell. You get one of the best running backs in the NFL and arguably probably top three running backs in the league a few years back. So I was so excited. I was amped up. You know, everyone was healthy. You got a new offensive-minded head coach. And then what happens? Mosley goes out in the first game with an injury. You end up blowing a 16-point lead because him coming out of the game changed everything. Quinnen Williams rolls his ankle. He's out now for however long. And then the worst possible thing that could have happened to the New York Jets, the worst thing is Sam Darnold being out for about a month with not an injury, with mono.
Legend.
And it puts a big stinker on this Jets season. And not only that, man, you know, because I had faith in Trevor Siemian. You know, he was a young quarterback, a decent quarterback with the Denver Broncos a few years ago. And I'm pretty sure Adam Gase coached him. I mean, actually, I could be wrong on that.
He did.
Yeah, all right. So he coached him. You bring in Demaryius Thomas, who is now hurt after playing in one game, too. So that's another guy who I was excited to have. You bring him along. You trade, make a trade with the Patriots. You bring him along to add to your wide receiver corp, and now he's out with an injury. I believe it's the hamstring. And then what happens to Trevor Siemian? He almost gets Theismann'd by Myles Garrett. He does a very, you know, very dirty sack on Trevor Siemian, and it looked so bad, man. Did you see that video?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
I thought his leg snapped, but I mean, he's still out for the season now, Trevor Siemian. He did suffer some ligament damage in his ankle, but, you know, thank God it wasn't like a Theismann type of injury, because that's what I thought it was, like an Alex Smith Theismann injury. That's what it looked like initially. And you could tell that the announcers were extremely concerned too, because right before they cut to break, he like stuttered a little. He was like, "Oh yeah, we're gonna go to break now." After they saw the replay, like it looked very bad. And then when they came back, he was walking off into the tunnel. So I was like, "All right, maybe we dodged a bullet. You know, maybe just a bad injury. He'll be back in like a week or two." But no, he's out for the season with torn ligaments in his ankle, and now Luke Falk is coming in. You had Falk and you had their kicker, Ficken, right? To kickers. So when Simeon went down, I said, "You got to be Ficken kidding me. Holy Falk, what just happened?"
Oh, Nick Falk. Who?
Oh, unbelievable, Luke Falk. Man. It's Luke Falk. And
Nick Falk was the kicker you released, and now I have no kicker.
What, did I say Nick Falk?
No, that was who we had last year, and then you released him, and then he picked up that bozo that couldn't kick.
Yeah.
And now you got Ficken.
Ficken. But it's a shame. It really is a shame that we're a little over 2 weeks into the NFL season, and this Jets team, this Jets season is – I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that this Jets season's over, because it's not like Sam Darnold is out due to injury and he's going to be out for, like, many, many weeks. He is just sick, and he should be back by week 5. That's what he's saying. That's what Adam Gase is saying. But it's a real shame that we're sitting here almost in week 3, and this Jets season, like, it's just falling apart. And
it's over.
They have given me no reason to watch them this week against the Patriots. Like I'm ready to sit here and tune out until Sam Darnold comes back. I'm sorry. And my only concern is that I really, truly hope that, A, no one else really important gets injured, and, B, I really hope Le'Veon Bell doesn't check out. I have not only because I have him on 2 fantasy teams, but because I don't want him to be so checked out to the point that when Sam Darnold comes back, he's not into it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he's sitting there like, "What's going on?" He said, "I thought we were going to the playoffs. Y'all lied to me." What did you do to him?
And they could have possibly made the playoffs if everyone just stayed healthy. They have a good team, and it's like, yeah, they're 0-2, and yeah, like, it looks like they're going to be 0-3 heading into week 5. But because, you know, they have the week 4 bye, but like, if Jamal Adams is mad that he was, you know, because there was the rumors that he unfollowed them, he took the Jets out of his Twitter bio. Like, I get all that. You're angry, you're mad. But I just hope that a lot of these players don't start requesting trades the way that the players in Miami has, because it's not like this Jets team is just legitimately bad. They're bad due to injury, and they're not even at full strength. Like, I'd understand if they're at full strength and they were this bad, but they're not. And to give up on the season as a player, like, I just think that that'll be foolish. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, did you hear me?
Yeah, this were, like, cutting out for mad long, so I was just hoping that you would keep talking.
No problem. So I'll just continue again real quick. Mm-hmm. And in Jamal Adams' case, like, I get it. Like, he's upset that they benched him in the last few minutes of the game. But at the same time, he was committing a lot of stupid penalties out there. And I thought it was the right move by him, by Adam Gase, to pull him. Because, A, you don't want him to get hurt. B, you don't want him to do something so stupid to the point where he's going to get suspended by the league. And, you know, he was the only one that got benched. The center, Ryan Khalil, was benched because he wasn't playing that well. Tremaine Johnson, the $72 million man, didn't even play a snap. And Adam Gase has said, you know, he hasn't been able to perform the way we wanted him to. And if these players are just going to become lazy and because they got their money, and I'm not calling him out to being lazy, Tremaine Johnson, but if he's not going to play hard and doesn't have the right mindset, then why are you going to throw him out there and make your team worse with a guy who's playing at 50%, as opposed to having a guy that might not be as talented as Tremaine Johnson, but if he's going to give you 110%, I'd rather have the guy out there that's going to give it his all than the guy that's just going through the motions.
Imagine being a grown man, a professional athlete who gets millions of dollars a year to play a game, and you unfollow your employer and throw a temper tantrum.
Yeah, that was a little immature, in my opinion.
I don't understand athletes when they do that. I'm going to unfollow my team. I know the owner is sitting in his office like, "Ooh, scary."
The owner will be scared when he walks into the office and demands a trade. Your best defensive player.
But the whole thing with demanding trades is I don't understand why these like owners and teams give in. Like, they're under contract for 4 years. Like, if you, like, I hate when like Like, if I were to sign a contract with my job for 4 years and I walk in and say, yeah, I want to go somewhere else, they're going to be like, no.
Yeah, I know, man. It's the same thing, too, like, when they want more money. Like, could you imagine, like, you or I, like, going to our employer and saying, you know what? I'm not coming into work anymore until you give me a raise.
And guess like, what? All right, I'll see you.
Yeah, exactly. They'll hire somebody else for even less money than what they hired us for.
Like, I don't understand why they give in. Like, the whole thing with Zeke, like, he was under contract for, like, 3 years, and Jerry Jones is like, here's money. I would have been like, all right, I'll see you when you get back.
Yeah, and the crazy part is, too, I'm pretty sure Zeke was going to start getting fined because he wasn't in the same position that Le'Veon Bell was in.
He wasn't, yeah, because he was under contract for, like, 2 more years, and they could have franchised him. So he could have been striking or on protest for, like, 3 years. So that he had no leverage, but still somehow got all that money. So I don't know.
Yep, it's really crazy what talent can get you in this world.
It's really crazy what being a GM in this world, how you have no brain.
Oh man! But going back with the Sam Darnold thing, you know, you're the nurse here, and you have also played football. I never played football. I'm also not a nurse. So, from your nursing experience throughout college and so far in your career, do you think Darnold comes back in week 5? Like, I know you don't know the extent of his mono, but I mean, just knowing the ins and outs of mono, knowing how the body reacts to it and everything in that, what is your diagnosis, doctor?
Doctor, I mean, it's not even really the mono. Like, he could probably play. It's that, one, they don't want it to spread to other people, and two, when you get mono, like, you get a lot of things that could become inflamed, like your spleen could get like inflamed and swollen. And with contact sports, like, you don't really want to play mono because if you get hit the wrong way, your like spleen could like legit like explode.
Wow.
And so that's why he would be out for a few weeks. And then I guess Jets medical team is following him really closely, but they'll know, and they'll know when he's ready. Week 5. It's could he couldn't, like, I don't know how crazy the mono is. It could just be like just more week 5, possibly. I would say it's kind of 50-50 whether he comes back week 5.
Mm-hmm. And he even said too that he said he didn't feel 100% in that week 1 game, and I mean he wasn't great, but he wasn't super bad either. So, I mean, a few days ago he said he's only lost 2 pounds, so is that like a good sign if you're not losing a lot of weight from this?
Yes, yeah, so that means it could just be like, it could have just been
like a mild case.
Could just have like the lower end of it. I don't really know how to describe it, but like it could have just been building for a while, and then they finally noticed it because he could have had it for like a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but they just kind of figured it out recently, and so so like the timetable is better.
Yeah.
5, it's, yeah, I'd say it's a good mark to measure, but I mean, I wouldn't bet money that he comes back, but at the same time, I wouldn't be super shocked if he does.
Yeah, and like, it's just so unfortunate, like I was saying earlier, because, you know, I was expecting a big leap in year 2 from Sam Darnold. You want to see him on the field, you want him to get the reps, you want him to get the experience, and, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say the Jets season's over, but let's just say he does come back in week 5 and they're 0-3, you know, they play the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Patriots, all back-to-back-to-back before the schedule gets a little bit easier. Right after the Patriots, you got the Jaguars, the Dolphins, Giants, Redskins. So, like, the schedule does get easier. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, the season's a wash. If Darnold could come back, and let's just say he's 100% healthy, regardless if it's week 5 or week 6, if he could come back before the second Patriots game, I think they have a good shot at trying to salvage the season a little bit. Like, I'm not going to say that they're going to still make the playoffs or not, but I think that they have a good shot at still being relevant, you know, in, like, December.
It's possible. I'm not going to count y'all out, but
especially if everyone can come back healthy. Mosley is the biggest key, though. Mosley and Darnold, both of those guys have to come back 100% in order for this season to be somewhat salvageable.
I'm not going to hold my breath, but yeah, it's possible. You could do it.
Yeah.
But
Why don't we end it off by talking about the Buffalo Bills real quick, man?
I was just about to say that. They're running New York right now.
I know, man. It's crazy. And, like, I don't know if you saw it, but after the Bills-Giants game, did you see what Josh Allen said to the media?
No.
So they asked him, they were like, so what are your thoughts? Because both New York teams passed up on you in the draft and you could have ended up in New York. And before the guy even finished that, he cut him off and said, I am in New York. And everyone started laughing. And then, what did he say at the end too? He said something and he threw shots, man. I forgot the specifics, but he pretty much, this is what it was. They mentioned something how like, yeah, like you're in New York, what blah blah blah, but you're not in like the city area of New York. And he goes, technically, we're the only team in New York.
That's hilarious. He got jokes.
Yeah, like I kind of like the kid. Like I like that attitude. Like people, they always count out the Bills just because they play in Buffalo. But he's technically right. They technically are the only team in New York, the football team.
They play in Canada. Get out of here.
But it's I'm curious to see what happens to the Bills. It's going to be very fun, this New York kind of like rivalry, because you know he was passed up on by the Giants and the Jets, and now all three teams kind of have this young, you know, fresh QB in New York. You know, one a rookie sophomore in New York. So it's going to be fun to see the landscape of New York football. Should be very good for the next like 10 years, just if everyone could stay healthy.
I want to see it happen. I don't mind the Bills. I wouldn't mind seeing them do good. The Bills don't bother me.
Yeah.
So I want to see them do well.
But we'll Bills see, Mafia. Man. I know it's easy for you to say, but they're in my division right now. So I do want to see them do well, but I don't want to see them do too well, if that makes sense.
Nah. I could see them beating the Jets. That makes me happy.
But this has been episode 18 of Eminent Sports Talk Podcast. Thank you all for listening. And catch us on Twitter and Instagram at MN Sports Talk Pod. Keep an eye out for any stickers. If you happen to see one, snap a pic, send it our way. Have a good one, everybody. Good luck to all your fantasy teams. Good luck to your favorite NFL teams. And Nick, let's see what Daniel Jones does this weekend.
Bless you. Thank you.